Lakeland Design Review Board to order. We'll begin with roll call.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown. Scott Rosser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
Okay, we've got two draft minutes to review. I didn't see anything in them that needs changing. Anybody else see anything? Okay. I would entertain a motion to
move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So done. Tonight's agenda is a single item, conceptual design conference on the, is it Lennar? Lennar. Total Make Apartments. We have seen this before, obviously. So that will be the only item. Requests from the audience on anything unrelated to tonight's agenda item. Is there anybody who would like to speak? I assumed not, so there will be a time for the public to speak after our clarifying questions from the board to the applicant. So let's jump right in and begin. Tony, take it away.
Test. Is that on? Okay.
I hear you.
Okay. All right. All right. Again, this is the Lennar Total Make Apartments project. This is actually the second conceptual design conference for the project. So I'm going to just do a brief staff overview and then pass it on to the applicant to get into their design. Again, the site is located at the corner of Totem Lake Boulevard and Northeast 128th Street. It's the southeast corner of that intersection. Property currently contains one- and two-story commercial structures with surface parking. The site drops relatively about 10 feet from the north property line to the south property line. The applicant is proposing to construct a new residential project that would consist of a ground floor residential retail space and parking, and then on the above that would be five floors of residential units. Parking is proposed with an ag grade and basement parking structures. One is accessed from Northeast 128th Street. One is accessed off of Totem Lake Boulevard. At the August 1st Design Review Board meeting, the applicant presented a design proposal as part of the Conceptual Design Conference, which included three massing options. After deliberation, the DRB requested the applicant return to a future meeting for an additional Conceptual Design Conference. The DRB requested the applicant provide additional conceptual design alternatives that address the following. They asked them to provide massing options to break up the long facade of the building along Northeast 128th Street, to develop an option for a prominent gateway corner at Northeast 128th and Totem Lake Boulevard, and address the amenity and pedestrian connection requirements of the zoning code. So tonight, the DRB is here to provide feedback on how the design guidelines found in the pedestrian-oriented regulations applied to the proposed development, and additionally to determine what models, drawings, perspectives, 3D models, or other application materials the applicant will need to submit with the design response conference application. So with that, I will pass it on to the applicant.
Good evening. I'm Brian Bellissimo with Encore Architects, as Tony mentioned. As Tony mentioned, we're here to represent additional massing concepts for the project at the corner of 128th and Totem Lake Boulevard. Sorry, I forgot to connect my controller here. I can just click through. So the beginning of the presentation here is similar to the previous presentation, and then we'll get into the new material. So I'll kind of breeze through this since we've already seen it before and you're familiar. Three primary goals of the project are to enhance the neighborhood, completing the urban fabric, really increasing safety in the neighborhood, and more importantly, creating this corner element or gateway element for the neighborhood. We want to also create an enduring building. That means architectural design that references context and scale, and incorporates high quality materials that are going to last. We also want to be responsive to the unique needs of the Totem Lake neighborhood. Creating appropriate buffers at the street level for occupants, provide security and safety at the exterior, and then more specifically, things like the pedestrian connection that were discussed as zoning code requirements. The project's 330 units with approximately 463 parking stalls that are all below grade. And when we get into more specific design guidelines towards the end of the presentation, we'll show you how we've made efforts to really screen that parking from all the street-facing facades. Totem Lake neighborhood right here, a closer look at what's encompassed in that. Again, I'll go through these. I'm sure you guys are familiar with them. But recent zoning changes and past zoning that's still implemented and mostly has had a focus on some increased density in the business district area. Our site's located right here, just north of the Totem Lake Mall, and then another hub in the community, Evergreen Hospital, being right down the street. Lots of pedestrian connections through this neighborhood. Here's a diagram, the blue dots, showing those. One, you know, very important one that we mentioned talking about last time is that connection east-west on 128th, but also those connections that go down the east and west side of our block that would ultimately result in arrival at the Totem Lake Park or the mall, and heavily used by some of the northern single-family zoning. This really just looks at the street grid, again, highlighting that kind of main thoroughfare east-west and north-south along here, and then obviously Totem Lake Boulevard that runs adjacent to 405. Massing-wise, this is a look at the existing neighborhood massing. There's some decently scaled buildings such as the Evergreen Hospital over here, about 10 or 11 stories. The new transit center directly to the east, and then the transit center that's located in the middle of 405 right here. So really kind of this main boulevard starting to happen, and we're right here on the corner of it. So an exciting opportunity to kind of create that icon of the neighborhood or the entry point of the neighborhood. These are showing up a little bit dark, but you're probably familiar with the site. Here's in plan, there's two existing office structures, and those would be viewed in this kind of dotted green box. And then on either side, we have the highway coming up, or the entry to 405, and then additional office structures to the east. Directly across the street, some 6-7-story buildings, parking garage, office building directly across the street. And that's kind of a nice bird's eye view that gets you a sense of the immediate neighborhood. So the three concepts that we presented last time, A, B, and C, there were pros and cons to both. And the general theme of each of them that the board did not like was the expanse of the facade on 128th Street. So the new design, the new massing concepts really focus at breaking that up. So just a quick look, what we're calling the North G took that previous G shape that faced south. One of the goals in this concept was really to get natural light into that courtyard and break up that southern facade, which is the taller of the facades from the downhill side. Well, we flipped that around and really started to erode that mass on 128th, allow that to kind of read as a mass above the entry point of the building. And then the second massing option that we're looking at, we're calling the Model S, and that's kind of a dual courtyard scheme that gets both reduction in mass to the north and also light from the south into a courtyard area. So really kind of the best of both worlds. So a more specific look at the north-facing G, Some pros to this is that the building, as I mentioned, is eroded on the north facade. We've explored chamfering the corner at the ground level, but also on the upper stories in this option, and looked a little bit more specifically at what that did design-wise. I'll show you in some later slides. Off-street parking is screened from public view, and that's true of both options. And then facade modulation on these street-facing facades starts to break down that mass. Some cons to this are that we've kind of closed off that southern portion of the building to natural light, so this courtyard really kind of becomes a dark place. We're not sure it would function the way we want it. We have a little bit of decreased modulation on the south facade since we moved that kind of break in the building to the other side. So these are views of that, view A here, looking from the downhill approach as you're coming up Totem Lake Boulevard. View B is kind of a bird's eye looking at the 128th Street exposure. And then similarly, C is a bird's eye kind of looking at that, what that corner element looks like right here. So the Model S, this is the preferred option. We really like how this articulation is. It's kind of a new form that you don't really see all that much. It's interesting. It's also getting a courtyard for that faces south with great views and sunlight coming in for tenant enjoyment from this side. And then this kind of we're envisioning is the more active courtyard for partying and maybe more of the evening activities when the sun's down. But that really starts to break up that northern facade facing the street. So that's about a 90-foot wide mouth at the corner of that, and really kind of accentuates the shape of the site and how that corner, how the streets meet by folding that mass out and really opening that up into kind of a triangular-shaped courtyard. So pros of this, as I mentioned, erodes that northern facade, but also erodes the southern facade. The courtyard has light, the southern-facing one. We have increased modulation. In this one, we'll see this one we're exploring more of a strong corner that I'll show you the studies of. But here you can really see that downhill exposure. We have a large opening in the building, and then the northern exposure, again, another large opening in the building. And we located our lobby that we'll show you in plan in this location. So you start to kind of read this opening as the entry portal to the building. This kind of stands on its own, and then we have modulated the rest of the facade down here. Really playing with how the modulation in the rest of the exposure can start to incorporate balconies. These are some studies on how balconies can start to recess into those portions of the building and not seem tacked on. So here's some views of that at larger scale. A view from 405, essentially. This kind of also being a very visible and strong corner, secondary to this corner, but something that we envision being a strong design element. This is the corner as you come over the overpass. You can start to read that large 90-foot opening in the building. So in plan, it's fairly similar in the podium levels to what we were seeing before. The lobby entry is here, and we've started to pull in almost a plaza. We talked about creating this kind of plaza. In our previous discussions at the last meeting, we were talking about putting it at the corner, but we have concerns over noise from the freeway. So our idea is to really engage that from the lobby, create a nice outdoor environment for directly to kind of the leasing functions and lounge functions and where pedestrians are going to enter coming from the transit stations, pulled that in and try to tuck it away where it's not going to be noisy, but it's going to be somewhere that can be enjoyable to be outside and really activate that. There's an entry here from 128th Street, kind of adjacent to the lobby. We see this more as serving the retail and some visitor parking and drop-off and things like that, future tenant. A little bit more of a dressy entrance, think more like a hotel lobby and less a parking garage. And then the retail exposures remained in the same place. We are trying to cap that entry with another lounge here. What the function is exactly, not sure yet, but so we can kind of control that, have glazing around both sides of it, nice materials, things like that. Typical upper residential level. You had asked to see a little bit more detail, so we're starting in the plans for schematic level. We're starting to show the modulation in the facade where we have recessed decks. Again, here's that 90-foot wide opening to the north and about a 60-foot opening to the south on that exterior amenity. We're stacking some of the amenities for the building kind of over the lobby, so this core serves all of that, and you can pop outside right here.
That's level two?
Yeah, that's level two, first level above the street.
Okay.
And then that essentially is a typical residential level, just that turns back into a unit. Until we get to the top residential level, where we've started to also erode the mass again on that south and really kind of engage that southern-facing courtyard with nice sunlight. There's a wraparound terrace here on the upper level, which if I go back to the massing quickly, it's kind of right here. So it's still in the works, but you know, an upper level amenity wherever it ends up, kind of notching into the building.
For the private decks, how deep are those inset?
Anywhere from 3 to 5 feet. So the lower level of the lower levels are garage, but then as I mentioned, we've been cautious to wrap that garage from any exposure with residential units. So kind of a single loaded corridor here with direct access from the garage, plenty of bike parking at this level. This is accessed from 128th Street, so you come down this ramp. It's kind of gradual, follows the grade, and then dives into that entry point on the east side of the building. So it kind of tucks the car entries away. And then your typical parking level going down two more stories. Pretty much below, we're completely below grade at this point. So another thing we discussed at the last meeting was starting to look at this thing in sections. So we've cut a couple of building sections. This is a short section through one of the courtyards. You know, we're obviously still designing the fenestration patterns, but the idea of some type of kind of playful facade on the courtyards juxtaposed with kind of maybe a more rhythmic facade on the exterior that follows the modulation. But you can see here the parking that's pretty much all buried from the 128th Street side. And then we have the lounge area off of that street and then residential stacks above. And this is a cut through the long way of the building east-west, so you can start to read how there's kind of these three towers on top of the podium that are connected at the various points to create that S form, but these kind of large courtyards that will get, you know, plenty of natural light in them. So we know it's a little early to look at this stuff, but we were excited about these concepts and how these courtyards are going to really play a driving role in this design. So I'll turn it over to landscape for a minute or two just to talk about kind of programmatically what we're doing at the street level and the courtyard levels, and then also starting to create this meandering path for that future residential, pedestrian connection to the mall to the south. One of the key features here is that we are starting to explore, although not a plaza, as I mentioned for acoustic reasons at the street corners, we do want to create kind of an iconic, planter slash art piece. We're not sure if it's going to necessarily be some quintessential statue or sculpture, but some type of sculptural landscape element that really holds that corner. And, maybe at night washes the building with light in a way that creates that kind of iconic gesture. But then that plaza space is really kind of tucked down the street off the main entry.
So do you want to ask a question? On the southeast corner there where you show the trees, does the road go under that or it stops?
No, it stops right here.
Okay, and is there's no fire access problem?
No,
get from there around with a hose? Is
that right, right. So similar in the concept that we had presented, this is sized for fire truck access. It's 25 feet wide. And then it comes to a point where, you know, this is basically at grade, and a 150-foot hose pool can get around the building to the same point where this is the other fire access, and we have a hose pool distance in that direction.
Thank you.
And it creates a nice kind of outdoor buffer area along this side. You know, we envision, since this sidewalk really isn't going to go anywhere until the southern property would be developed and continue that connection, this does kind of create a pedestrian connection along here that someone could kind of come around this side of the building if they're coming up from the mall to this area. There's garage entry and just kind of garden amenity.
On the south, you'd have to have a fence or something because of the concrete wall going down.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's kind of this is a sunken, right. The ramp kind of goes down there.
So that ramp is it drops to two stories below grade?
Yeah.
And then approximately what's the width of the landscape strip?
Right here?
That's left, yeah, on the south edge.
Over here? That would be about 15 feet right there.
Okay.
10 feet. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. This is 25 plus 5s. And this went to 15. So it's about 10 feet right here.
So are you dropping into parking like that outside the building just for economy? Or?
Yeah, the parking requirement here is about 1.5. So as we approach 330 units, we're looking at, you know, almost 500 parking stalls. So by the time you get all the ramping inside the building, it takes up a lot of space. This is a way to kind of approach it by transitioning the topography on the outside of the building. And, you know, this would be used for service and trash back in here also. So these are some blow-ups of the landscape concepts that we talked about, creating that kind of plaza where after a 10-foot setback and then an additional 8 feet for that plaza, we have almost a 20-foot kind of 20-foot wide public plaza outside the main entry, kind of creating this iconic gesture at the corner with landscape and planters and lighting. I'll go. All right. And then just a blow up of the upper level courtyard terrace is how I said, you know, this is kind of more of that kind of evening vibe facing north, and this is more of kind of the sun vibe facing south with some decks that kind of pop out and look back towards the west. So design guideline-wise, this is a look, just pulling some specifics out of the neighborhood design guidelines. Most of this I've already touched on, but just to look at specifics, we wanted to see, or design guidelines call for architectural pedestrian-oriented features at the corner. We kind of talked about that iconic landscape gesture and the plaza kind of tying into it. Large buildings to fit more comfortably within the neighborhood development, so kind of these larger massing moves that we're proposing with the courtyard, with the dueling courtyards. Pedestrian-oriented space. Really getting at that kind of sucked-in portion of the ground level where we're creating that entry plaza, and then the pedestrian connection on the eastern side. Awnings and canopies should be required on facades facing pedestrian-oriented sidewalks. So, you know, we're kind of not at that level with massing, but intend to provide the required pedestrian coverage at the sidewalks. And then we're encouraged to have upper story activities overlooking the street. So we're doing that by this large courtyard and also some of these setbacks that have the decks kind of notched into them. So we as discussed, we kind of studied two options for this corner. This is a schematic model. Don't pay attention to the colors. It's really just kind of a computer model. We're not really at that level of material selection. But this one looks at, again, you can see that this far portion of the building starting to get at a rhythm that breaks that up. We have that 90-foot wide courtyard that starts to have that interest in modulation that responds to what is happening at the street. And then this upper level corner really standing as that iconic gesture. We're right here looking at how the glazing can really create kind of a lantern. We've pulled those sides back so they kind of relate to these moments of the building. But that corner can be some type of accent material that really glows and, you know, calls attention to this gateway. And then secondly, we looked at a chamfered option that I think was a request last time, and how that starts to work with a similar idea back here, again, obviously in development, but how that accent strip can really be pulled apart, getting away from that pointed corner. We personally prefer the first option because I think that really gets some activity and more of that kind of spire, accentuates the point and it could be some interesting material detailing there. And then this is a look at the northern facade. There's kind of where the building peels back and opens up at that courtyard. But then starting to look at how the storefront modulation can follow what the upper stories are doing. You know, we're creating a soffit moment here where we pull back the lower story to create some of that coverage and really break the base up from the upper stories. But then also going a little bit further and having kind of two languages or maybe what turns into three languages of what is happening at the ground level that relates to the upper level. And then these are the same design guidelines that we spoke about last time, creating varied building footprints for the perception of smaller building mass. I think we're accomplishing that through this new S-shaped form, providing residentially scaled facades. We envision portions of the lower level, a part of that rhythmic storefront, having some masonry in it that really brings a high-quality, fine-grained detail to the lower story. Pedestrian weather protection I already mentioned, and pedestrian-friendly building fronts we kind of spoke about already. This starts to get at signage. This design guideline is very specific to exactly this site, south of 128th Street, how the landscape will kind of wrap that corner. We start to see signage that really draws connections between the two transit centers that flank each side of our property. Well, down the block a little bit, but really incorporating some of the Kirkland standards for parking, so it's very clear on how vehicular circulation is to work in relationship to pedestrian circulation. And then lastly, design guidelines surrounding the idea of kind of that wrapped parking that we're accomplishing on three sides. Balconies that have sufficient depth to appear integrated in the facade. We talked about how we want to see those integrated into that modulation. Here's some examples of how kind of a modulation or a grouping of windows in one of our previous designs has incorporated balconies that kind of lock into that pattern. Don't seem like they're just like tacked on. And higher and lower structures. So each of these, I'm sorry, I did forget to mention that, but we're starting to play with the parapet heights in this modulation. So when we push back, we pull down, and when we pull out, we pull up to create that kind of varied mass, both horizontally and vertically. I'm going backwards. And that's it. So, thank you.
Okay. Official questions? I know we kind of did a few questions in there in the presentation. Dave, do you want to start with clarifying questions?
I think I've already asked them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Susan?
I actually had a couple questions, staff questions, I think, Tony. In terms of what streets are considered pedestrian-oriented streets, does that include 128th and Totem Lake?
Great question.
Okay. And then, Brian, mm-hmm. The landscape plan that you projected and how it's treating that driveway on the south, is it a different plan than what's in our pack? Yeah. So the slot has slid deeper into the site, and there's less at-grade plaza. on the south there?
That was kind of part of a draft image. This one's more accurate. So that's kind of that sunken driveway that comes in, and that plaza. You know, it's kind of less of a plaza, more of a landscape buffer.
I think you have the potential to lit it further as shown in the packet, correct? You have mm-hmm. a tremendous amount of headroom there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fire access has to come back for a decent portion of it.
But you said it was how much? 100, you had to get coverage of 150 feet from the truck?
150 feet from the truck, and yeah, that comes essentially from here to here. From this wider portion of the driveway is mm-hmm. fire access, and then it necks down for just standard vehicular.
Right.
So the trucks would end here and essentially have a 150-foot pull to here, and then the truck would end here and have a 150-foot pull to here.
So that lidded area could be there.
It could, yeah. I think we...
No, I'm talking about in the landscape plan, rather than that slot that's projecting two-thirds into the site, there's a landscaped area that extends further to the west. So it seems like it's a cost thing more than a code or a functional
thing.
I think our packet page 36 is kind of matches this page 32, but it doesn't have
there's green right
delineated
here.
Courtyards, and it also has a different...
Yeah.
That's different. Okay.
Yeah, we were still working on the design of these courtyards.
Is that what you were looking at, Susan? Is the
I'm just talking about this area.
Is not on that, but it is right. Okay.
But what we're hearing is
some of it could be
not accurate, but this actually could be covered.
Could be covered and still maintain our fire. Okay.
I think at the ground level we're with all the focusing the landscape kind of bang for your buck along the street exposures, and then down here kind of creating that private kind of ground level area. This is, I guess I would question how much this would get used, especially with previous future development that would kind of be able to come to zero lot line technically. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, the potential of the pedestrian pathway though.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing on the chamfered corner, so the code requires a 10-foot setback,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm trying to understand this right. Mm-hmm. So when we say we're chamfering the corner back, actually you're going back 13 feet from the angled property line, but
mm-hmm.
technically you have to be set back from this short property line,
by 10.
A minimum of 10.
Right.
So this corner actually would be non-compliant. Is that correct?
For the pointed corner?
Mm-hmm.
It
seems like it's just a function of the lot.
Where that point actually happens. Yeah, it would comply.
Okay. Nolan? In regards to your question, Totem Lake Boulevard, Northeast 128th are major pedestrian sidewalks. They are not pedestrian-oriented streets per the. So there's a slight difference in that. But.
I just had since we're talking about this corner, kind of a programmatic question. I know you called it out as being a fitness room or a workout room, something along those lines. And then the retail is tucked down a little bit further to the east on 128th.
Mm-hmm.
Was ever considered at all to try retail there on the corner to maybe activate that corner a little bit more, make it more of a draw to passerbys for more of the pedestrian type feel at that corner?
Dan Scheider with Lennar. We have looked at our options on that corner. We've got a couple constraints up there that we think right now we want to continue to kind of consider that as a fitness over. Our primary objective there is to activate that corner and have it be as lively as we can be. We've got some serious concerns about how we're going to be able to park that corner and the distance you'd have to travel to get into that space from any parking opportunities that we've got.
I got you.
Along that front.
That was it for me.
Scott?
Okay, since this one's up there, okay, in your G option, I guess, along 128, what are the actual dimensions of the, you know, your straight line of building? You know, actually, I'd like to compare both of them. So, yeah, let's look at that. So you have two sections. What is the footage of both sections?
I don't know if we have it dimensioned on here, but this is about a 60-foot wide opening, and it's directly in the middle, so it would take 30 out of the...
It's like...
400 and... 350. Yeah, so they're about each 150 chunks. This is about 200, this is 90, and then the remainder is 57 or something. 67.
So what, it's about 200? Is that what you said on the one?
Yeah. Yeah.
222.8 is what.
So we kind of enlarge the courtyard, but it shifts down in order to kind of create this movement.
So are you having, will there be any balconies on the interiors?
Typically, no. I think we'd want to use the balconies as a way to kind of create, you know, kind of a next level of detail or architectural depth on the outer facades, and also in those courtyards, kind of creating that that privacy separation, so not being able to inhabit right here and look into your neighbor's unit at the corner. Okay.
So, and can we go to the slide where you actually show the sidewalks and then the iconic landscape gesture? So the corner feature, what are you thinking? I mean, what are you actually thinking in that area?
I'll let landscape talk to that one, but.
Hi, Sean Lundquist with Brabant Associates. Do we have the blow up?
Yeah.
I think what we're thinking is a series of low plantings combined with specialty paving. And the art feature, some of the inspirational photos we were looking at were kind of lit elements. So the idea is that it's interesting not only during the day but the night. And we felt this was the strongest point, so you could see it from both streets. So that was the best location for it.
So now, is it meant to be interactive, or is it something you walk around?
Really has yet to be determined if that art element is active. These are hardscapes, so you could walk through it. That's the idea, that you could get up close to it and get...
So you could kind of cut the corner through here, mm-hmm. through the landscape and through the art. There's kind of a blow up, but if these are, imagine kind of little spire light features that you could kind of circulate mm-hmm. through there.
So in this envisioning, it's the more channel corner as opposed to the.
Well, it's at the street level, both are chamfered just to kind of allow that to function more.
Okay.
But this chamfer is pulled back an additional setback so that in the pointed option, it can remain within that setback, but the chamfer at the bottom is the same.
And one other thing, I think we'd carry over that specialty paving into our courtyard as well, flanking both sides of that entry, so to kind of tie it all together. Okay, thanks.
Carolyn?
Can you
you talk about how you envision the quality of those units on the south side, especially the ones at grade, about the parking, the highest level of parking? Because those are, they look pretty dreary to me.
I think a section might do it best. But.
Yeah, the so studios.
These?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're all above grade. So, you know, they're going to have full-size windows the same as all the other levels. And I think from the exterior, you're going to read those as part of that overall facade. You know, they have views of that landscape buffer.
I would add to that that we also, I think we understand what you're getting at, and we kind of see that, you know, there may be some work to do in terms of, you know, opening up those units a little bit in terms of adding a deck to the forward part of it. Something opens up, and because, pardon me, I think we understand what you're getting at.
Okay, that was it.
That was yours. If you can go back to the slide that was the sort of the landscaping there at the corner and all of that. Yes, so on Totem Lake Boulevard, the greenscape that's out in front of those units, is that at level one or is that at the parking level P1? Do those enter off of Totem Lake Boulevard, or is it only from the internal?
It's only, so those units are only accessed internally right here.
Okay.
It slopes essentially from right. from level one down to what would be P2, where we were just looking at those units that wrap the parking.
Right.
At this corner that have an on-grade little kind of plaza that's screened landscape-wise within that 10-foot setback, and then at the highest point here, this one's sunk about 3-4 feet, sunken terrace there, again, screened with landscape here.
So you've labeled it P2. So the P2 units are roughly at 162 floor, is that right?
Yeah.
And then the upper ones are at 171 or 2 or something. I know we entered at 172 off the street. So, yeah. Okay, so.
Yeah, the P2 is at 161.
Okay. So but again, that the green stuff that's shown on that landscape plan is the level one, the 128th level, they're looking down at that greenscape,
right,
correct?
Right. And then the hill transitions level P2 from essentially okay. grade here to slightly buried here.
So that corner unit could theoretically have, he has a little patio or a little.
Yeah.
That's very protected visually and.
Right.
Okay. Okay. My other question is, how do we get to the bike parking with a bike?
Let's go back to this level. So you'd come 128th, come down this ramp and then through here or through the elevators from the level above.
Okay. So you could come into the lobby, the.
Yeah, and you would even, with this kind of porte cochere idea, you'd be able to kind of come right through here, this kind of like lobby vehicular entry,
uh-huh.
and then right here be able to dive down to that parking, and that's probably would be the easiest.
Okay. Okay.
We're trying to be conscious of bikes and really play up that or cater to the transportation idea, you know, pedestrian, vehicular, bikes, buses, you know, this whole mm-hmm. area is kind of vibrant with that, with transportation. So not, you know, not forgetting the bikes in this condition, but at the same time, not having them have to traipse through the lobby, they can kind of sneak through.
Okay. One of the sheets showed the plaza entrance to the gym, it was labeled. Looked like it was quite a bit east of the line between the fitness and the lobby. Are we going to the lobby first, then into the fitness center?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be accessed internally.
Okay. And then
Sorry.
Again, what you've got up there doesn't match what we saw on our packet, but And then the lounge. What is the lounge? Is that another amenity feature? Is it a? It's got a lot of glass on it, I assume, from the 128th. What is that, tenant use?
Yeah, tenant. This would kind of be tenant use.
Okay.
No, we're still working on the internal space planning. So.
Okay. Okay, that's the only questions I had. Susan, some more fire.
Can I go back? Just going back into the staff report, key zoning regulations. Mm-hmm. I have a couple questions about some of these. So, any structure that exceeds 30 feet in height is required to provide pedestrian-oriented elements that exceed the code minimum, the code chapters. So what pedestrian-oriented elements, public pedestrian-oriented elements, are you providing to achieve that extra height of 30 feet?
Well, the entry plaza that is, you know, enlarged at this portion. I mean, I guess the art feature would qualify as pedestrian element. All the landscaping along here, whether it be, you know, benches or bike racks and whatnot that are integrated along this.
Isn't that required, though, as part of the street development, regardless?
I guess there's certain baseline. But.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what's already required and then what is being provided for this incentive.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something, obviously, we'll request the applicant provide an analysis as part of their design response conference application and show us how they are going to exceed those requirements or meet those requirements. Okay. So,
but we should be keeping in mind where those things are occurring now, correct?
Yeah, guidance is good at this stage.
Okay. Yeah.
And then again, in addition to the 10% of affordable units, how do you foresee those being distributed in the project?
Come to the mic.
The requirement is that they're distributed throughout the building.
So sort of equitably based on the unit mix? Or?
Yeah, they have to be distributed according to the unit mix and distributed throughout.
Okay. There's no AMI statement that the city has that should be as far as what affordability standard is met. There is?
It has to meet the city's affordability requirements in 2017. So that way, if they haven't started working with ARCH, they'll be working with ARCH to figure out what that what the rents will be in the unit mix.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other clarifying questions from the board? Okay, now would be the time for anybody in the audience, any of the public, to speak directly to this project, if they're so inclined. Like a lot of empty seats, so I would close that portion of it and say let's begin our deliberation of the board. Anybody want to lead off and volunteer? I guess let's start with just as a conceptual design conference. Scheme-wise, we've got five to choose from now. What are our thoughts on that? Let's, Dave, jump in.
I think the architects be complimented for coming back with what I think is much better alternatives, and S in particular is a good one, I think.
Okay. Carolyn,
I agree.
Yeah. Scott?
Yeah, I agree too.
I think so too. I think it's got a lot better architectural options and. So. Yeah. Okay. Any other things with that aspect of it? Probably, Dave?
Well, I haven't said that. It's still a large and massive building for its site, and it completely uses its site, and that's to be expected. But I think it needs careful modulation. It's going to need a lot of modulation. And, in fact, the representations near the end there, which shows the building faces, to use an expression that Scott used in the past, are alarmingly flat. And a previous rendition at the last meeting showed much less regularity in the face. And personally, that's something I would look for. So just a comment.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume this is kind of a placeholder, and I think you even mentioned it, that mm-hmm. it's pay no attention to the colors and the,
right.
Et cetera. But I agree, Dave, that last, the version we saw, maybe it was the sketchiness of the, though it was rendered, which was a little bit different than we're seeing here. I'm sort of intrigued by the notion that the insides of the courtyards got a little bit more of a, at least in what we saw, was a randomness and a sort of a little bit yeah. less of a, mm-hmm. you know, 1-2, 1-2, mm-hmm. you know, which, yeah, I don't know, you could maybe go several different ways, is leave the exterior and let the insides of the geode, so to speak, be, you know, mm-hmm. or do the opposite and let it all be, you know, kind of be a little bit more random. Obviously, that's way more detail than a conceptual design conference, you know, wants to see. But again, it's good to have the input now. What are our thoughts on how this thing meets the ground conceptually on four sides?
I think we need to see more information about that, because it's not really clear to me, except for on along 128th, I think it's pretty well defined, mm-hmm. but the rest of it, and in fact, to me, that's probably the biggest concern that I have about the whole project, is that how it meets the ground, it really needs to be thought through.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the conceptual pictures they had in here, you know, things are drawing inspiration from them, they look good, so I hope those elements are captured when we come back with more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that seems to get lost. Good intentions, and then it doesn't always translate to the next step. So, I really liked what I saw as far as those ideas were laid out in here.
Okay.
Seems to be happening is that I think there's a blank wall for a significant part of that frontage along the sidewalk.
As we drop. It was labeled dirt, and well, it was even below, but there is some that is going to be not.
So that's your point.
Yeah.
I think that's a concern. I'm interested in knowing what people think about the slot on the south.
I agree. I was looking at how do we get a retaining wall and still get some landscaping in it to drop 17 feet, because we were at 144 at that lowest parking level and 161 about 5 feet away, measured horizontally. That's a big lift.
I think the landscape plan in the pack is much more successful.
Yeah, I agree.
And I understand it's on the back side of the building, but at the same time, when it was described as the opportunity there for people to walk around,
mm-hmm.
which is actually a positive, and
it's the sun side of the building,
and it's potentially a very unpleasant space, you know, to walk through the neighborhood. So I think letting it as far west as possible, you know, maybe that can be considered part of the public amenity, but if we have nothing, I'm just suggesting that might happen.
I wasn't at the last meeting, so I don't know, maybe this was covered, but does the access point have to be at the far south end of the site?
That's a parking
big
level?
Redesign, yeah.
I think it does in order to get down quick enough.
Okay.
With the breakovers and the break-in angles and all that, it looks like that has to be.
Yeah, for fire trucks, we're limited to 15% slope. So, you know, the farther we get up the hill, the longer that has to get.
Right.
I mean, is that a Kirkland issue that you have to provide access to an interior of a site like this? You can't do a hydrant or something to... would best be requiring this sort of access path around the back?
Well, that 150 feet is pretty common from when I did meetings with our fire department. I don't know if other cities have different approaches to that.
I think they do.
We met early on, even before the first meeting, with the fire marshal and discussed kind of this concept. And they were on board with it and were requiring it.
But if you, I was just thinking if you were ramping internally instead of using that as your access ramp.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to be convinced when we get to a design response that that works and it doesn't, you know, make this weird. Even the section kind of showed this, you know, this, you know, pit down there that, and there's, you know, stairs to get, as you walk from the east, there was a pretty good flight of stairs to get up that distance to the, from the fire lane to the east pedestrian access. What do we think about the corner, about the chamfer versus the hard edge point as a visual?
Well, here's what I have a problem with is the, I don't know if either of them are the best they can do, because you, yes, that is a much nicer look right there, but you're selling this, you know, landscape feature that is going to be undercover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it has to work. Because if you go back, can you go back to the last slide with the landscaping? So you're showing right there, well, then you're coming out over the top of all of that. So I do like the look of the windows better than a solid line down the building.
Yeah,
that's...
Yeah, I think to me it's about the base. And I think last time we asked about why is the fitness center there and not a more public, you know, like retail or whatever. As you come across from the transit center, you know, there you are. And and
on the elliptical.
Not, there's no doors to the outside. So even though that space is there, the building is closed to it. And I find that very bothersome.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's not retail requirements that they have to do, but it just seems that it could play with the pedestrian experience a lot better than a lounge and a fitness center. I mean, really, that takes up so much of the building.
Yeah.
And I think that the idea of a gateway corner is addressed in the code, and I don't think it's needed. Myself.
Those fitness centers, it's... To me, it's the worst of both worlds. There are either people using them, and you feel awkward looking at people. They're in there sweating and working out. Or more often than not, there's people not working out, so it's just a dead, empty space full of monotonous equipment that, you know, is not very attractive to look at. Lights are off. Nobody's going to go work out at, you know, midnight, you know. It's going to be very specific times, I think.
They're very exposed if they did.
Yeah, then you'd feel awkward, but... Sure.
There's, if anything on the project, that's probably the most pedestrian activated retail opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
would it be appropriate to interject here? We have some plans. We do understand that concern. We do have some plans to address that with some extremely active displays. These are part of Lennar's branding and what we try to do with our spaces. It's not going to be strictly a passive, or not passive, it's probably not the word we're used for a fitness center, but it's not going to be strictly, you know, people working out on treadmills. We're going to be using large video displays, using branded GoPro footage that GoPro, the corporation, provides. If people doing, you know, kinds of really interesting things. We'll be happy to show that to you next time we're here, so you kind of get a sense of what we're thinking about.
It's still private. There's still no public interaction at the corner.
I understand. So we'll look at that and see if we can.
Even residents coming in and out, you know, accessing it for the fitness center. It's hermetically sealed off from the world.
It really does look like pedestrians are using the entire building front. To really, they're only going to be using the very, you know, one section of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a concern.
Yeah. I understand the applicant's point about that it will be a very noisy exterior space right there, but I think the notion that we're going to do that plaza shifted a little bit further to the east, that could also be a very functional plaza for a little coffee shop or something else that is, you know, where somebody wants to be on their laptop at Starbucks in the very corner on display. That works.
The most convenient corner, too, especially if you're doing transit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing is that, you know, sort of in combination here is that the plaza that's been is really the entryway for the residents, and it's not public.
It's not public at all. No.
And so the idea that it, I don't think it meets the I don't think it meets the intent of the code for pedestrian oriented amenity for the incentive for the Heights. So that's, I guess, that's sort of a segue into that piece. I think we're still missing that part that's required.
I agree. Yeah.
Hold in to, I was trying to look for the section on that one. There's the.
Do you mind if I ask for an example just to kind of understand a little bit more what you're envisioning?
Well, I think, and this, I guess part of this is code, the planner's interpretation of the code, but it's asking for a public amenity that's in addition to other requirements, other urban design requirements for the perimeter of the property. So it's not the sidewalk. It's not the landscaping. It's not your residential entryways. It's actually something that's used by the public. That's how I interpret it. Used by the pedestrian public.
An art feature would be one, but something in addition to that.
Yeah, and okay. I guess how it's evaluated in terms of what, you know, for a project of this size, what's appropriate. I think we've seen smaller projects in the city with much larger amenities than what you're suggesting. So
okay.
It seems like it needs to be proportionate to the scale. And not just at one, you know, probably should be dispersed because this is the size of, you know, three typical projects in the city.
So, you know,
go ahead.
Maybe the art function paired with the plaza, regardless of what it's adjacent to inside. We have the pedestrian connection along the west, and then, you were alluding.
That's a separate requirement.
That's a separate requirement, so, okay, we're not viewing that as.
Along the east, though. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think you can pick one thing and have it do it all. But,
it's
also
that's
a staff guidance.
Mm-hmm.
That's go beyond what they're already the minimum requirements already were set.
Yep, to get higher, you have to go beyond it, right? Yeah. And I'm still just curiouser about this lounge. That for the tenants to get to it, they're going either walking. Well, they're going downstairs and outside onto the street and then into it, or into the public parking garage portion into the lounge. Is that correct? Is that how they get to it?
Yeah, so we're still working on how that's programmed, but we envision it being kind of more of a active lounge that spills out onto the street, and you know maybe there's what we had called it a bike lounge before, kind of, you know, not specifically just for bikes, but more of this kind of indoor outdoor kind of function.
And that would be for residents only then. The lounge chair?
Yeah.
I mean, in your experience, does a res- resident space like that on the street really get activated, or do people tend to use the ones that are up in the building? Like, they'll go to the amenity spaces that are up in their building, but not necessarily.
So, in our experience, it depends. If the space is programmed correctly, then the residents will use the space and take advantage of it. We're still studying on exactly how we intend to utilize that space and, you know, what the best answer is there. At this stage in, you know, trying to define the massing and try to get, you know, kind of the building blocks right, so we haven't really kind of answered those questions.
Could it ever end up being bike storage?
No. That would be... among other things, it'd be directly against our own interest. We have no interest in bike storage on the street front. So, when we're here next time, we'll have a kind of a clearer vision for what we're going to accomplish with that space and how we'll get there.
Okay. Let's see. Is there anything else that we?
I would say one of the things we should look at that 220 feet. Stories.
To the 222.
I think that has to be something that's pretty predominant that we give them guidance, not just, oh, it needs to modulate. I think it needs a little something more than just simple modulation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we want to run through the design guideline, mm-hmm. design issues that are listed here.
We kind of hit the pedestrian-oriented space and plazas. And blank wall treatment. So you think the 222?
Well, I know that's just a mock-up, but I mean, really, just a little bit of ins and outs. I don't think is going to
right.
adjust. You know,
the 3 foot, 3 to 5 feet for those two recesses. Is
even with parapet changes and material and
And I think Dave made a really good point, is that the rendering from last time was way more expressive and did a better job of breaking down the building.
Didn't it show a sort of a level 3 podium where there are, or is that level 2 with the courtyards up on above the brick or whatever?
Yeah, so the building, the whole building was pushed back.
Okay.
Well, yeah. And I will be the first to say, too, as soon as you start putting more expensive materials on the building, it comes more alive.
Mm-hmm.
I would be scared that we're going to get a lot of hardy board.
A lot of fiber cement. Okay.
I think going to pedestrian right space and bodies, we kind of talked about that blank wall treatment. We want to be sure there's no blank walls meeting that pedestrian right.
Mm-hmm.
So vertical and horizontal definition. I think we're probably looking for more than what we're seeing.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is that, again, this is early. This is massing, basic massing, so hopefully there's a lot more to be done. But the forehead on the, in a few images, the forehead of the building is...
It's big forehead. Yeah.
Talked about how the roof heights are going to, the roof edges mm-hmm. are going to modulate between the gasket pieces and the forward pieces, but I think that the proportion of the white masses right now is actually looks taller. Even it's
there's more than just a parapet there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we want to go so far as to ask for step backs.
I would encourage some step back.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize this is massing right now, but or not, and it's just
but here there
preliminary.
Was
but I would start to encourage them in that direction to what we saw, in the last.
Mm-hmm. And that blank wall doesn't mean that there's nothing there. It just means that it appears flat, even if there's different materials and windows and other things.
Mm-hmm.
In it, it can still appear as blank. Okay.
But yeah, vertical and horizontal definition. I think horizontal shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And then horizontal modulation seems necessary.
Well, I think there was mentioned that there will be a, you know, kind of a base to it at above, you know, level one. But I think it either has to be much stronger or rather than just some overhanging cantilevered portions that.
I mean, at least, but with this undercut design where the wood levels extend,
mm-hmm.
I don't, unless you come back in at some point above that, there isn't going to be another break.
No. Well, it certainly will be.
I think the scale needs to be broken down. Horizontal modulation changing the scale.
Interestingly, as we deal with all these pedestrian level things, this thing's going to be viewed from the freeway and from a passing auto at 65 miles an hour a lot, which will be a totally different experience than being, you know, walking from the flyer stop or coming down from the hospital. It will be experienced totally differently. I think at this point, I think we're in agreement that this S form and scheme is a winner, is a keeper.
Yeah.
I think so. That we do have a few concerns with how the thing meets the ground, the programmatic elements for the that corner, the 128th expanse. Specifically, what we'd like to see next time in terms of additional drawings, or other than obviously more refinement and detail, but.
I think it'd be great to be able to see a model of this one so that we could start to experience what the ramp is going to be like and walking around that south side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And also the view from the east. I mean, I assume that the building, the project next to it, will come along.
At some point. Yeah.
But for a while, though, this is still going to be what you see as you move from the hospital towards the
mm-hmm.
So I think we need to see elevations of all sides, corner views,
pedestrian views. The version that Dave had held up from last time, is that out of SketchUp, or are these all SketchUp, or is it Revit?
That's Revit turned into SketchUp.
Oh, okay.
This is Revit.
Okay. To the extent that it's possibly interactive, is that where you were kind of going? Being able to see.
If it's feasible, yeah.
It doesn't have to be high res, you know, flat, low poly trees, people, that kind of thing is just fine. We can sort of fill in the blanks mentally if that's at all doable. That is very handy. We've had.
No, we can do that.
Not a full walkthrough, fly through where it's, you know, 15 hours to render. We don't need that at this point. Just a kind of foam core level, but with a little more refinement than that is perfect. And seeing all sides. I mean, speaking of blank wall, I hadn't even thought about that east wall. It's blank. It goes and just doesn't have anything happening on it. At least if I'm looking at the right floor, the typical residential floor. One of the things that I would, this is getting kind of picky, but I would love to see it on all the plans is either some grid lines or some very clear definitions of property lines and so where we are from floor to floor and what hangs out and what is recessed mm-hmm. in relationship to some basic grids. That's handy for me to go from floor to floor. Anything anybody else has that we would like to see? Tony, do you have anything that we've...
No, I mean, obviously, we'll want to have a complete, like as I mentioned earlier, complete analysis of 90, how the pedestrian spaces meet the code requirement. So that'll be obviously a big element.
Okay.
Material samples too are usually something we add.
We start to get into it maybe after the first
meeting, after the next one, possibly.
Design response. Yeah, I would hate to make more work than is necessary.
One thing I like about this presentation is how there are some, we did start to study some of the details and take us in a direction, like the signage, for example. I mean, I thought that was really helpful to give a big picture overview of where you're going to go with it. So if materials are available, it doesn't have to be a formal materials presentation, but show us whatever you know.
More committed to the materials to say this.
More photos or material boards?
Well, either way, whatever you know is good for us to see.
If they happen to have the physical materials, it's nice, because even looking between this screen and that screen, there's a difference in color.
There is.
So everyone gets caught up in the weeds about trying to figure out what the projector is telling you. So,
one quick question?
Yeah.
Hey, you showed a picture of the decks being all glazing and then going into glazing. Where would you even envision that in some sort of object?
In this picture?
Yeah, you should pick. So where would you have that as some of the decks?
For example, obviously this is still pretty crude, but, I think we've started to already just start to explore how, there might be some framing that happens so that this isn't one big kind of flat piece of paper with a bunch of openings, but just through facade articulation, grouping, say, those four windows in a way, and then having that kind of Juliet kind of lock into that rhythm would kind of just next level development, but that kind of, you can envision that exactly.
That helps break out.
So, and this kind of language within the facade, I think, can start to get at what we were talking about, and how this can start to get some more horizontal modulation without kind of these, 8-foot deep decks necessarily, but, how that, this volume can start to break itself up, and that volume can start to break itself up, and maybe they have, maybe this is an A, B, A type thing where this has a different language in the middle slightly. In this massing, we've really tried to focus the reductions or the carve-outs into these courtyards to really, in response to the last meeting, really, that's 90 feet right there between these two. So kind of, taking the chunk out of our mass and put it in that right now. So that's why, some of this is still kind of might seem timid, but we're holding on, obviously, square footage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think we appreciate that. It's just that, when we're weighing it relative to the pedestrian experience and the street experience, that.
Well, now it's not just that. All people driving by.
Oh, I mean, on behalf of the pedestrians.
Mm-hmm. I think that courtyard's going to be really nice. Yeah. A nice feature that really adds to the better than even the G, the flipped G or whatever, I think. And then on the other side, the south side, I mean, I can see that exterior amenity space up at the top floor as being crowded. I mean, that's going to just be a really popular place, which I think can work well because it's way up high. It's going to have a gorgeous view, down into its own courtyard as well as looking down at Ross. For now. So.
I mean, I think that certainly back to the positive is the idea that you're thinking that the courtyard areas are being thought about, which benefits the residents and makes it a nice place to live.
With the public. Okay. We don't need to do anything to continue or anything. This is just the end of CDC, and then we'll wait for the we don't need to schedule anything yet either because it's not a continuation, correct?
Nope. We'll do once the application comes in.
Okay. Any questions from the applicant directly to us that we haven't kind of gotten back and forth with? Anything?
No, I think that was great.
Request? Okay. I mean, do we think that S is a better building than the ones that had the red stripes through them? That
yeah. Okay. I think it's more, I think just as pure massing, it's interesting.
Okay.
It's not, you know, best of both worlds.
Lots of square footage?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Do we think that the interior, the courtyard units with no exterior decks and things, is that going to be I don't want that unit and hard to deal with, or?
It could be nice to have some.
We're going to be providing a pretty significant percentage of units
with exterior. So typically hanging on, bolted on decks up there in that interior, or?
Don't think we really define exactly what they're going to be, but you know, in most cases we're trying to kind of work them into.
Okay. Okay.
The interior is tough because nobody wants somebody to be standing, hanging out on a balcony.
Looking in their window. Yeah.
Room.
Okay. I understand.
It's kind of a privacy issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing is these courtyards are really broad and they're the width of the street. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And the courtyards are great for the units above to look down at, the landscaping and the pattern of the landscaping.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay. I think we have nothing administrative, or is there anything, Jeremy, at all administrative we need to do? We're on schedule for the next, the 19th, and Susan, you will not be here for that one, is that right? Or because that's phase two on the big guy uphill.
Did we talk about that one starting soon?
Oh, yeah, I don't. Well, because are we doing two things on the 19th? We are, aren't we?
Yeah.
Were we
going to
perhaps
marathon.
Do 6 o'clock? Or?
I guess you did.
You could. It's your third of the 30s. So I don't know how it's going to be. I'm sure the mall is going to take some time.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with the 6 o'clock. Is that easier for you? I mean, you guys and the staff, or does that mean no dinner whatsoever?
It doesn't make any difference. We'll have to notice it as a special meeting, so we'll have to
What are the rest, Dave? What are you 6, 7? I'm fine either way. It doesn't matter to me.
And personally, I prefer earlier if possible,
okay.
But that's, you know, don't work it around
time.
Me. I can make it work both ways.
That's fine.
6 is good for you, too?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do 6, and then we'll...
We're not too close to it time-wise for the special public notice and all that.
We'll still get on it this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If we can't, then it'll just be at 7. It's 7,
okay.
It just defaults.
We'll
just
keep our eyes open.
Take a look at your, when you get your packet, look at that meeting time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's less than 2 weeks, a week.
Yeah, it's 11 days or something, 12 mm-hmm. days, so... Okay, nothing else. This has got to be almost a record, but is there anyone who would like to move?
Fill up some time.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded, we adjourn. Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We are adjourned.
I have a conference call with my Russian friends at 4:30 in the morning, so.
Lucky you.
I'm glad.
Well, I kind of thought it was after I saw that stream. Yeah. Did you saw the ones that we...
I saw them in here. I don't know what transpired at the last meeting. I saw them in here. I don't know what transpired at the last meeting.